cliffcentral.com.
And welcome to Belighted with Ramion Romeo on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning. It's raining. I don't know how people drive. I mean, it took me almost 2 hours to just leave my house to get here, but I made it. I am here. And welcome to you, our beautiful, beautiful listeners. And we love it that you keep downloading the podcasts and keep tuning in live stream. As much as data is expensive, but you guys, you know how to do it. Anyway, we love that. Welcome. I have Romeo somewhere outside. Romeo is not in studio with us this morning, but I'm sure I can find him somewhere and see if he's there. Hello, Romeo.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, and then, yeah, I feel left out. How do you say beautiful people? What about handsome people?
Well, that was a general thing, Romeo. How are you today, Romeo?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. And where are you? Yeah. Because like this whole thing of you not showing up in studio, it's becoming a habit. How do we deal with that?
It's not becoming a habit, Pella. You see, I think we're taking advantage of beautiful technology. You know, I could be sitting in Ethiopia, I could be sitting in Madagascar, I could be sitting at some exotic island in the Seychelles, and I am able to just still feed through. You see, it's like I haven't gone anywhere. You know the culture of social media where you have spoken to someone for over a year, but you don't realize that you haven't actually seen them.
Yeah, well, that is true. But now tell us the truth. We know you're not in Ethiopia or some exotic island somewhere. Tell us the truth, Romeo. Exactly where are you?
Hi, man. And why are you putting a brother on the spot? Anyway, I've got, I'm working on this deal. And so the idea is, you know, customers who call a meeting, you know, and say, can we see you this time? And you know, it's like it's crunch time. So I did think, you know what, yes, my meeting is at actually an hour. In fact, when the show ends, I need to be at that meeting. But I thought, you know what, I am not making it a habit of missing the show because I really,
but now
really
stop
love.
Moving because you're like cutting out a bit. Stop moving.
I'm actually not moving.
You better not be moving. You better be sitting in one place.
I'm not moving at all.
Okay, fine.
I promise you.
Enough of your boring customer stories.
How was your weekend? How was your weekend, Pella? I know you always be up to something.
Well, my weekend was quite okay. It wasn't bad at all. I've just been running around as usual. And I spent the weekend with my beautiful friend, Renata Stierman. And
I saw the picture. I feel like it's there. You see, I saw the pictures.
Robert, stop moving. You're cutting out. Stop cutting.
I'm not moving.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. Now I can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. No, the weekend was fine. I was hanging out with my friends and the kids. Gefilwe managed to come home, and Wotsilo didn't go anyway. So she was around, and she also went and slept over at her friend's house for a friend which she had just met on the day. I'm telling you, my kids are like.
But you see, Ramster, what I like about you as well is that, you know, it doesn't matter how busy you are, you always make time for family and you always make time for your friends. And I think this is the month of love. And, you know, we're talking to couples, you know, we're talking to lovers out there where we're saying it doesn't matter. Nobody is too busy for love.
True.
If you really want it to work out, it is going to work out. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You will always find time.
No, that is true. I have to. And how is your family, Romeo?
I mean, my family is awesome, man. The girls are happy. You know, what is it, right, girls? And, you know, I'm very excited. And I think also my weekends are starting to get chilled out. You know, I'm not as busy as I used to, which is good.
So the girls are growing, you see? The girls are growing now. So you can, like, talk about chilling out. That's good. Okay, but Romeo, since you're not in studio, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you're going to do the drum roll if you're not here. But ladies and gentlemen, in studio today.
No,
I can't be talking and doing the drum roll at the same time. I can't multitask like that. But in studio today, we have the beautiful, beautiful couple who are crazy, really, really crazy about books to the point that they actually have opened their own bookshop. That's how crazy they get, and that's how crazy they got. And they've got a beautiful bookstore in Vereeniging. No, in Vanderbijl Park. You know, Vanderbijl Park and Vereeniging, both of them, Helles Bayafer. So at the end of the day, you know, I confuse the two. But the bookshop is in Vanderbijl Park, and it is called African Flavor Books. Okay. Now, they've got a, and this bookshop has just been growing in leaps and bounds. It's only 3 years old. No, in fact, going for 3 years. And it's like one of the biggest Black-owned bookstores in the country that we have. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in studio, Mr. Oh, guess what? They're actually wearing the African Flavor Media, African Flavor Books uniform, and it says African Flavor, where Africa meets, yeah? And we'll talk about that. We've got Mr. Fortescue. That's how you say your name, right?
Yes, thank you, Kavi.
Fortescue. And Nogutula.
Hello, Rami.
Okay, come closer to the mics. Come and hug them nicely. Yeah, you must like just like make love to the mics. Mics. Yeah. And they're here. Welcome to Belighted.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. In my absentia, welcome as well. And Rami, make sure she gives you water there. Make sure she takes care of you.
Well, I'm definitely trying my best. Unfortunately, Palisa decided to not bring water today. I don't know what happened. You see what happens when you work on a Monday. People don't consider you. Guys, welcome to Belighted. It's so good to have you here. We're excited that you're here. You could come here all the way from Vanderbijl Park and made it on time. Amazing.
Oh, thank you so much, Sissy.
Okay, so now let me tell you. I'm gonna tell the listeners a bit about you and Romeo. I don't know how much Romeo knows you guys, but I met you for the first time
last year in February. Yes.
No, I met you first, Nogutula.
Yes.
Because you were coming to fetch books from me.
Yes.
And then after that, I think about how many weeks later.
It wasn't that day after that. A couple of weeks later,
then I came through to the bookshop and I found you, Mr. Fortescue.
Yes, okay.
And it has just been an amazing journey knowing you guys and just watching how you guys do your business. Tell us a bit about African Flavor Books.
Okay. African Flavor Books was started. The idea itself has been for 5 years. But we have been running a shop for the last 2 years.
Okay.
It was really based on the frustration that we felt as, like, you know, because we are very, like, you know, we read a lot.
Yeah.
And we struggle to get the African literature books. And while we were researching our concept, we traveled around the country and we found that most of our bookshops, they look more European and American than African.
Yeah, true.
If you look at, like, you know, the books that are in there. And we told ourselves, we say, like, you know what, we can't question other people's models, business models, and the business plans, because that's how they want to make money. We said, like, you know, let's start something that will showcase the great talent we have in the country. And that's how, like, you know, the idea was started, yes.
Okay. Nogutula, I can see right now when we go to the bookshop, we see a big store packed with books.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how it was the first time around. So
no.
Where was your first store? How big was it? And exactly where was it?
It was the first store. It is the one that is in Vanderbijl Park.
The very one that we
the
all go
very
to.
One that okay. you go to.
And it was that big?
Yes. Wow. And just to add on what Daddy has just said now, it was built out of frustration. Because he has just written 3 books and I was busy with my magazine at the time and I was frustrated because I went to different other retailers or booksellers and they were rejecting our material. And I said, you know what? I've been in business since I was very young, at the early age of 13 years. And I did run a couple of businesses before that. So I said, you know what? Let's just do our own, start our own.
Okay, in fact, I just want Romeo to come in there because I remember Romeo has written 3 books, right?
Wow.
And I'm sure you can also identify with the frustration of having material rejected by big retailers or big bookstores.
Yeah.
Romeo?
Yeah, thank you so much. And I think what a befitting introduction there, Remster, and, you know, for a couple. But there's also a number of interesting facts that I identified from the, you know, from the introduction. One being the importance of sharing your vision as a couple, and also, you know, being able to identify with a common cause. And then number two, you know, turning your rejection into, you know, into something that will empower you in the past. I mean, a lot of people could just say they rejected me and then they closed shop. But what you did is you didn't have a platform, but you actually created your own. Now, the question that I have there before we talk about me and my books is, how important is it? Because I want us to create a belated moment for someone who's listening, who feels that, you know, every door they open is always closed. They try and knock on people's doors and nobody rejects them. But what is the importance of driving your product forward and doing everything you have in your power and your arsenal to make it happen? Because I think that really summarizes your opening statement.
Yes, Romeo. Like, I think, thank you for your question. Like, you know, it is very important for people to realize that when doors are being shut on you, like, you know, it gives you an opportunity to really plan better. And that's what we did. The more the doors were shut on us, we researched more. Like, you know, we looked at how we can get our books out there in a different way. And, like, you know, so people should not be, like, you know, discouraged when, like, you know, they when they are rejected. I think for us, we have big plans in terms of book distribution in this country. And like, you know, people that, like, you know, come close to us, they will tell you that we are big dreamers, but we think that it is achievable in our lifetime, because the distribution is a big issue in this country, like, you know, and we want to solve that. We are trying with one store, we are making it easier for authors, like, you know, to access and be able to sell their books directly to the customers. So it is very important, like, you know, to people not get discouraged. It might take longer, but don't be discouraged. Yeah.
Yeah, because I actually noticed that the store is more like, I think you have 90% African books.
Yes,
African
it is.
Authors.
Yes, and we're proud of
and
that.
And you're proud of that.
Yes.
And you always do like a couple of launches.
Yes.
Getting the
yes.
authors to come through to the audience.
Yes.
And I think being in Vanderbilt Park and how far it is, wasn't that like a bit of a challenge for you? Because someone would think, if I wanted to get it and I want to get it easier, I would rather be central, like in Joburg City, for instance. But then you guys are in Vanderbijl Park, and now everyone in Joburg and everywhere else now is leaving where they are to come to you guys in Vanderbijl Park, you know? And how did you get that winning formula going?
It was a challenge at first, but we just made sure that the authors were aware that people want to read their books, and if they come through the Val and they get associated with them and the type of stories that I'm telling, because what I've always said is most people, they say black don't read. They do read, but they just don't find the material that they can associate with.
True.
So we just pushed that and said, you know what, people want to read your books, or people are looking for your books.
Yeah.
Please come. That will help with the sales. That will help with marketing the business.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ways that we did it. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like I think if I'm ahead. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, Romeo.
No, continue. I'll come up to you.
Okay. No, like I say, like, you know, the other thing is that we need to realize that, like, you know, we need to teach our people. And Val, we knew that it was going to be very difficult because there's no reading culture that is huge like Joburg. But we knew that if we get successful in there, because we work very hard there to sell books, and when we come, like, you know, and do the pop-up stores here, like, you know, it seems like an easy job. But the most important thing is to teach our people and to create new markets.
Yeah.
When we started with our first book launch, I think we had 10, 15 people. And now, like, you know, we can get close to 100 people. people. Like,
yeah,
not there.
And more, actually.
Yes.
And more.
Yeah.
And more. Like, you know, yes, yes, and more. And that has shown that, like, you know, we have managed to create new interest and there's a new market. And those people, most of them didn't buy books before, but in the last 2 years, they've been taught the importance of buying books. So most of the time, we need to be very, very brave. And, like, you know, and I like what you are saying, is that we try to invite the, like, you know, the authors, and we tell them, we said, for us, the, like, you know, the most, yes, business is about money, and money, like, is important for you to be sustainable, but knowledge for us, like, you know, distribution of knowledge is more powerful.
Uh-huh.
And we like, you know, even the publishers, when they try to stop us to get the authors, like, you know, talking about the budget, we take it from our own budget to make sure that, like, you know, the authors come and share their knowledge.
True.
Because, like, you know, knowledge is more, like, you know, powerful, and money is something that, like, you know what, it can come later for us.
Romeo?
Yeah, I like what you're saying, Mpoe, too, because, you know, I hope I coined this phrase, and I need to make it grow, because I think one of the things that we encourage authors to do is to create their own codes. And that's what I started doing as well in my books. I don't use other people's codes no more, because how will my writing be remembered, or how will I be remembered as an author if I quote, you know, quotations from, you know, people all over the world? I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. But here is one thing that I had said, and I believe it so much, that your vision must be big enough to carry you when everybody drops you. And I hope that's something that, you know, I will be remembered by. And number two, I'd like to pose a challenge to the four of us to say, you know what, I think Mel was saying that, you know what, blacks don't read, but, you know, they're starting to read, and obviously it's evident, but also we need to perpetuate the culture of writing as well. And we need to get sponsors to actually do a writing workshop and get people to come for free, but it has to be sponsored. So that's my challenge to the four of us. All of us have written books, but we need to start, you know, engaging more, especially young people, to start writing books. Just a thought that I throw the spanner in the works there.
Yeah, in fact, what Nogutula was saying is that it's actually a misconception that black people don't read. And she was saying they do.
Yeah.
The problem is that it is the material. Because in high school, I remember we used to read Secret Seven, Daniel Steele, Famous Five. My kids were reading Sweet Valley High.
Yes.
You know, everything was just like, and they were like those little ladybug books. Do you remember the little ladybug books for kids?
Yes.
But we never had any African literature per se in our libraries.
True.
And even in my high school, I remember most of the books, like 80%, they were in English, and then another 10 maybe Afrikaans, and then the last 10 to be different African languages.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And I think that is what is making people disregard this whole thing of reading.
Of reading.
But, you know, when someone is like, yes, and we were walking in the snow and they were kissing and in front of the fireplace. And then we're like, what are you talking about?
We don't do that.
Like, I mean, Seshiro. I mean, Lebojo.
There's no snow.
We don't do snow. What are these people talking about?
Yes,
you know, and I think sometimes that makes people to get detached from the books. And now what I wanted to ask, because now, is that what has driven you guys to have the passion to basically push African literature? Because I mean, you've got, it's not just the South African literature that I saw different books from all over, from Zim, from Nigeria, from Ghana. I mean, you even have some of the oldest books that people are struggling to find in the bigger book stores, you know?
Yeah.
How do you even get hold of those books? How do you get the material?
As you're saying, first of all, just going back a bit, it is frustrating even going to a library and not finding something that you can associate with.
Yeah.
I remember when I was still at that time Standard 7 and I was looking for a book that I can read, that I can associate with, and that can teach me about our culture. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
As a result, I ended up reading There's a Stranger in My House. That was my first book, and I'm thinking, what? But it's so frustrating. What we're trying to do with my husband is to make sure that people, the books that they can associate with, it's easier for them to find. Even the sales that we do on a monthly basis, we just to make sure that the books are always there. I don't know.
Yes, like, you know, if I may add, you spoke about, like, you know, the distribution of books. Where do we source the books? Yes. We proud ourselves with one thing. We understand, like, you know, the material that we want our people to access.
Yeah.
We, like, you know, we believe that, like, you know, knowledge is power, and most of the time, you need to balance it. Like, you know, like, you know, the stories that, like, you know, all the authors, like, you know, are telling us, is beautiful stories.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and those stories, like, you know, they can change people's lives, and that is why we try by all means, like, you know, to research. And most of the books that we, like, you know, if we can't find the books in South Africa because there's no distributor, we go out of our way to make sure that we get them overseas. Like I said, that, like, you know, most of the African books, you can only access them very easily overseas.
So now we are local, we are looking for local material, but then we have to go via overseas to get our local material.
Yes.
How insane is that?
It's very frustrating.
It is. It should be. Okay, Romeo, you were saying something, Major?
Yeah, and I think also there's a very, very important point to this. You know, for example, you have a lot of international, especially, you know, let me not mention countries, but there's a lot of international publishing houses that will come and tell you, no, you know what, you must publish with us. But I think what we don't realize is that you're signing away your IP, actually, your intellectual property, and then, you know, you sign up with them, and then they end up selling you your own material. And I've seen a lot of young writers, you know, going through that trap. I mean, obviously, they tried me as well, and I completely just told them, not going to happen, because my model was different. And we'll talk about how I kind of, like, conceptualized my self-publishing, but because I think I want to give our guests more time to really, you know, educate us, because I think there's some beautiful, belated moments that are being thrown in there. So yes, Ramster, over to you.
Absolutely. If you just tuned in, we are speaking to Mr. Fortescue and Ms. Nogutula Helepi. They are the owners of African Flavor Books, which is based in Vanderbijl Park. It is one of the biggest African, not just South African, African bookstores,
yes,
where you can find more than 80% of African literature. And they're in Vanderbijl Park at the Val Walk Shopping Center. That is on corner DF Malan and FW Beyer Street. And so you need to get yourselves there. I mean, I have to leave for ways to actually get to Vanderbijl Park to just come and see the materials that you have. And there's so many authors. And so many authors just walk in. You'll just be sitting there and then, you know, an author will just walk in and say, no, I just wanted to check on how you guys are doing. I'm like, so you guys are, like, very, very famous in the literature world. And you guys are, like, just making, your footprint is so big and it's so large.
Oh, that humbles us. Thank you.
And we honestly love what you do. But now, since we're actually celebrating the month of love more than anything, and, you know, we have spoken about your love for books and your passion for that and what it is that you're doing with African literature. But now, throughout the interview, you keep saying, while we were reading, and he's saying, while we were reading. You know, I'm like thinking, Nogutula says while she was reading, and then Fortescue says while he was reading. Which one of you started reading what first, and what attracted you to each other? And how did you know that he was reading something? And how did you, Fortescue, know that she was able to read anything? Like, I mean, I don't think a passion and the love for books can, and I'm sure books can bring people together.
Yeah.
But to have such a perfect match, come on, guys, somebody tell us the secret. What happened? What happened?
Let me that they answer that one. I like to hear what men.
Let's hear your men's perspective.
Yes. I think when I first met you, like, you know, I just finished university and I was working in Secunda.
Okay.
And the one thing that, like, you know, by that time, books was one of the things that I love. I love music. I love, like, you know, the movies as well.
Yeah.
I think what connected us, our first date, it was to a movie.
Okay.
So I love that, like, you know, she loved the movies.
No, wait. Wait.
He's jumping
wait,
there.
Jumping. You are. Yeah, yes,
he's jumping. Yes.
And he is jumping. He is jumping.
Yeah. And, how did you meet?
So how did you meet? Tell us. Tell us how you met.
And every woman always wants to know if they remember.
The women always remember.
Yes. The date, what I was dressing, what I was wearing, I mean.
Nontantam Duli let us down a few weeks ago when she was here with her husband, Thabo. Thabo could actually remember the dates. And Nonkanta was like, kept saying, sorry, baby, you are right. Thabo actually remembered everything. So we need Fortescue to let himself down and all the
But he's hip-hopping around, so.
Like Romeo said, Romeo's like, no pressure, no pressure.
Papa, like, hip-scotch. Hip-scotch, I mean.
Start from the beginning, from when you actually saw her. You can tell us you went to the movies.
Ow.
Can we get to the first hello?
No, like the first time I saw her, I think it was 2nd or 3rd of February.
Yay.
That was 2000.
Wow.
Yes, because I remember, it was beginning of the month, and the month before, we stayed at a different place, and I just got a new flat. Okay, and then she was traveling with her friends. They were going somewhere with some of my friends. Mm-hmm. And as they passed my flat, they screamed my name. Because, I was sleeping. Oh. Like, it was in the afternoon, I was sleeping.
Okay.
And,
now, there's the real Romeo there.
Okay. So, by that time, I didn't want to come out because I was so embarrassed about my flat. We got a flat, I was sleeping on the floor, mm-hmm. and I had this bedspread on the window.
Oh my God.
So there was no way I was going to open for it.
Did you say bedspread on the window?
On the window. So that's my curtain.
So that was the curtain. Okay.
Yes.
What color was it? Don't say pink, please.
No, it was blue.
It was blue. The shiny ones.
The ones with the little frizz.
That one.
Oh my gosh. With a little threading
that
in between.
That's the thing.
Oh no. Okay.
So, but I went and then I just checked them, through the window, and then I saw her. And that was the first time. And then I asked my friend, I said, let's arrange a double date. And then we arranged a double date. And then we went to a movie. Those Tuesdays have a price movies.
Cheapskate.
Okay, now this is a double date at a half a price.
At half a price.
Yeah, ne? So, no. So the first time you saw each other?
I actually have a belated moment there. Please allow me to come in before I forget the question, because I think it's very important. And the question is borrowing on what Ntate is saying, the importance of humble beginning as a couple. You know, you contrast between couples, today and couples back then. I mean, you talk about, the area you used to or the place you stayed in, and then versus today. You know, for example, today it's like if you go on a date, someone will say, "Do you have money or not?" Or before we date, is am I dating someone with money or not? If they don't have money, don't bother. Versus back then, where humble beginnings, and you kind of loved each other regardless. You didn't have a full view what the future was going to look like, but you didn't consider material as the requirement for love. What is the importance of that as a couple, especially when you're starting out? Do we always have to say, I will date you because you're driving an expensive car, you have a big house, or I'll date you because I love you?
Oh, that's a good one. But you know what? I say material, it comes and goes. So if your love is based on that, definitely the chances of survival are very slim.
Yeah, they're very slim.
Yeah, and he's been broke so many times. So if it was based on money, I could have left a long time ago. But it was not about that.
Yeah.
I guess he's been, I love intelligent men. So what I saw in him, the intelligent, I wanted someone who can challenge me. And I saw that even the first day, the one that he's talking about, it was all about challenges that day. He was questioning, he was asking a lot of questions. And I thought, who do you think you are? But I was liking it at the same time. So,
okay, you like intelligent men. And clearly, you like intelligent women.
Yes.
Okay, so now, then when did you discover your passion and your love for reading? How did you guys know? Because I know you love, you've got your own magazines and then you do this and that. Yeah. And then you've got three books.
Yeah,
okay, but now, where was the meeting place for the first time where somebody said, where one of you said, oh, I love reading, and then the other one said, oh, me too. Oh, yeah. How did that happen?
I think it was on that day. You remember when you were taking me to varsity because I used to walk and I had a late class. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what? I'll go with you. You can't walk at night alone. So that's where we found out that we are interested in the same thing. He started mm-hmm. talking about books and I said, have you read this one? And then we realized that we have so many common things, books, music, movies. And that's where the whole thing started, really.
Okay. And when was the official, I'm going to ask you out and I think you should be my girlfriend or you should be my person, or like who said what? I don't know. You know, I look at Bradford sometimes and I'm thinking, this one, he pretends he's quiet, but he's actually not.
He's not. Thank you for saying that. And most people, you know what they say?
You say, you talk too much.
They say, I'm the one who blabbers like a lot and he's like chilled. Hell no. He's so.
He is. Yeah, tell us. So what did you say?
Okay. I remember, like it was in 2001, and a couple of months before, like, you know, she loved her friend so much and she wanted to throw her friend like a party.
Okay.
And then I asked her, okay, will you be able to afford it? And she said, no, I don't have money. I said, okay, no. Here's some money to buy your friend a cake and just do something special.
And you're still using a bedspread as curtain at that time? Okay. All right, got that.
And then, like, you know...
You're very funny.
I'm just checking.
That was the investment.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you thought investment, curtain, bedspread, curtain, investment, this side, and you chose investment.
So,
okay.
But like, you know, the more we started, like, you know, being serious, like, I saw the woman in her.
Mm.
Because after that, I think she started to open up, like, you know, to me. And then, like, you know, she will come to my flat and say, no, you need to change this. Like, you know, by that time, I just had a, like, you know, like at some point, I just had a bed and a fridge and a TV.
Oh, finally, you had bought a bed.
Yeah,
you even had a fridge and a TV. Yeah. This was from moving from sleeping on the floor.
Yes, like on the but the best bread was still there.
Oh, so, levels.
And then my TV was like on the box that, like, you know, I bought it from. So.
That is so black. Like, you buy a TV.
And
hey,
that
even Romeo had that. You know,
that box.
Romeo.
Box. No, you did. The very box that you bought the TV.
Yeah. That's a TV stand.
You don't throw it away.
No.
Men.
That is so
but, like, you know, like, I saw the woman in her because, like, you know, she wanted to make that a home. Like, even though she was not staying there, but she cared about, like, you know, the things that I've bought and all those things. And then, and then I decided, like, I think it was 2001, around July. And then
she's shaking.
No. Let me come in. No.
Oh, here we have Romeo. Wait, Romeo. We had a dispute one more time. We are having a Thabo Nhlanhla moment again. This time it's Bradford and Noctula.
No.
Okay.
He's getting it wrong. The way he tried to test me, but at that time I didn't even know that was a test. What he did, he gave me like $3,000.
What?
And I'm thinking.
Wait, in what year? 2001.
Yes.
Yo.
And
it's not a new thing.
Hey.
And I'm thinking, what is insane? Because I'm from a very poor background and we've been taught business from like an early age, from 13 years old. I was already selling stuff at home.
Yeah.
So I thought, what? Ulalang emaliloput, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe he's testing me, but I don't care whatever this is for. I'm going to go and remove that bedspread on the window with his money and put a decent TV stand and put other couple of things that I cannot mention, but yeah, that's yeah. And I think that's
what no, and we can mention. I know it was that underwear with holes.
Yes,
I knew it, Romeo. It was the underwear with holes, Romeo. Romeo, come in, Romeo. Yeah,
can I?
Yes.
Okay. So I think what I like from your story is how much you both take initiative without being told. And then what you do is you spot gaps and then you fill them for each other. I mean, from how, you know, your partner says, okay, do you have money? Here is money. He could have taken money and did something else, but he saw a gap and initiated it. So what is the importance, I think, what is the importance of doing that, but also looking on the flip side where the more you take initiative as a partner, the more your partner just enjoys that and never reciprocate. What is the importance of balancing the initiative phase of the relationship?
Now, I think it's very important. I think we have been married for 17 years now, and we understand each other's weaknesses and strengths very well. And so the areas that she knows that I'm not good at, she acts bold on those because she knows that action will not be taken if she doesn't do it. And the areas that she's not good at, I step in as well. So it is very important to make sure that you complement each other very well. And when that moment comes, and I know that this is the shaky area for her, then I step in and I try to make sure that it's done very, very well. To impress her and the way she would have wanted to be done. And I think that is what she has done in my life as well. Very, very well. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tula.
If I may add, Romeo, again, it's so easy to spot if this person is the person you want to spend your life with. If I'm always talking to you about and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with wigs, and I'm wearing one actually. So if I'm always talking about material things, and there's never a conversation that when we talk, it shows our future, and you, it's easy to spot if someone is your type or not, honestly.
Okay. Now, when you said intelligence, you were attracted to intelligent men and all of that. He was asking you a whole lot of questions, and all of that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I absolutely adore that and I support that. But then sometimes, like he says, he checked you out. You were with your friends outside.
Yeah.
Now there's a group of how many girls standing there?
Sure.
Oof. How many of you girls were there?
We were like eight.
Eight girls. So now, how do you spot that one out of eight girls? I mean, irrespective of you knew that Tandi, Najolali, Sipo,
That's
and then, yeah, you know, is it a good question? So
yes.
I want to know
what too.
Did you see with those two eyes of yours that made you attracted to this woman?
You need a TV here.
You know what I
need a backup.
It must have been something that you saw with your eyes.
Yes.
You're not going to see intelligence with your eyes?
Yes.
Intelligence, you see, it's somewhere in... So how did you pick out of the eight girls that I'm going to find this one's intelligence? There must have been something. What was it? Tell us.
There is one thing that attracted me to her. I think by that time, she was slim. Very tall.
Yeah.
And she was tall and... she was beautiful. All her friends, all the other girls, they were a little bit short. So she stood out, and they're so that one, I said, that model is mine.
So she, so
did you hear that?
Did you hear? Did you hear everything?
You are protected. I think most of us as men, the first thing to a lady is appearance.
Yes, that's the thing.
And,
my friend.
Obviously, as we grow older, it's not about that. But
yes.
I think as young men, the first time you see a woman, that this one, I don't know if things will work out, but I'm going for that.
That's the thing.
But now, my question is that then how... Listen, he said everything in past tense.
Ha.
She was slim.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She was this.
You know, Rami, you noticed so much. Thank you for asking those questions.
So because, I'm just going back to that moment.
Because I can see you added a couple of kilos now. And I know most of it was more like
I was
your responsibility.
Slim as well.
Yes.
Was slim as well.
Yeah,
was he slim?
Yes, he was. Was slim. He was very quiet at that time. He was shy actually, and he was the first guy I've ever met who was shy. I was always the shy one, but now with him, he was shy
more
and
shy than you.
Yes, and I thought, wow, okay, tomo palamaso.
Oh my. And I don't know how much of that has worked.
None of it. No.
So he, actually, this Zero. Guy's a tzotzi.
He is.
He is so quiet, but he's checking everything out.
You notice. You can see.
But guys, if you're listening and you're just hearing us laugh, it's because we are with Fortis Q and over Tula Helepi from African Flavor Books, and they're just telling us where they came from, how they met, and all the beautiful love stories. And we've got Romeo on Skype. He's somewhere there and he keeps butting in. Hey, Maromza.
Hola.
He is here. And you know, and we're just talking about these beautiful love stories and how he had a bedspread for a curtain and how he didn't have a bed and he put his TV on the actual box that the TV came in. And now, then how long have you been dating before you got married?
Like it was a year.
A year. Mm. And then you pop the question like, yeah, you.
Yes.
This one.
Yes. Like, you know, the...
No. She's disagreeing, guys. Can we have some, no, like, can we...
You know, as you've said, he's quite a mean fellow, eh? You know what he did? One weekend he decided, you know what, I'm going to invite her to my place. So I thought, that's not my kind of how I was raised. But I decided, okay, I'm going to go. And then on a Saturday, he tells me, you know what, I think you should go and shop. And I thought, here he comes again with this shopping thing. Yeah. Can't he see I'm not that of a girl?
Yeah.
Okay, and I didn't want to shop. And then he said, just get out of my flat. I thought,
He called you, then he asked you to get out.
Yes, I thought, get out of my flat. Who has ever said that before? And you know what? I said, I'm an independent woman. I'll go out of his flat and I don't care. And then to my surprise, his bed with surprises. He was trying to engage me, but the way he said it, I almost went home.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What is coming to my flat? Yes, yeah. I'm going to let you ask the question, Romeo. Hold on. I'm trying to get something here.
Sure.
He's like, come to my flat.
Yeah, that's a
then
Friday.
Go shopping, you don't go shopping.
Yeah.
Then he says, get out. And then which part of engagement is written on that whole script there?
Because his bed, you see? That's what I'm saying. There was nothing. He just said, please go out of my flat.
Before you answer, maybe Romeo will sort you out. We'll help you with whatever it is that you want.
Yeah, no.
I know Romeo. You know what the problem with Romeo? Romeo loves saving the brothers on the show, and it's actually very unfair. He must save a brother on merit, not just because he's a brother.
Yeah.
But Romeo, I will let you do whatever it is that you want to do, even though I don't trust it.
No, actually, it's a belated moment, and I want to ask both of you, and it would actually be nice to get both your views on what I call assumption versus verification of facts. You know, as couples, we tend to jump on assumption and we never ask twice. You know, you take assumption and then you jump on it and you act on it and you destroy. So what is the importance of saying, okay, I think what he's saying doesn't make sense, but let me just verify before I actually take a permanent action, because I think assumptions has destroyed lots of relationship than we can count.
Yeah, like I think that is very like important, and I like you indicating one of the most important thing, like, you know, in any relationship is communication, and communication, like, you know, it is like, you know, my wife has a way of asking the same question like, you know, 100 times.
Like, oh, yeah, she's a wife. Hello.
To just check.
Okay.
But like, you know, but like, I think one of the things that we enjoyed a lot, and that made us like, you know, to communicate much better, is that, like, you know, when we first met, we enjoyed very simple things. Like, you know, we will walk something like 2 kilometers to go and buy a 1 rand. By that time, like, you know, an ice cream from McDonald's was 1 rand. You walk 4 kilometers, like, you know, to go and come back and just to buy, like, you know, that ice cream. And along the way, you talk a lot. And that's the thing that, like, you know what, bond us and, like, you know, made us, like, you know, to communicate much better. So for whatever thing, like, you know, we have, like, you know, we always make sure that, like, you know, we communicated a couple of times to make sure that, like, you know what, a person like is fine. But coming to what you are saying in terms of, like, you know, verification, I think it's very important, like, you know, to not assume, And to make sure that, like, you know, what you get the facts from, like, a person, and trust them, like, you know, and then let the person, like, you know, really buy your trust. And if yes, you find that, like, you know, they were not correct, then obviously the trust is gone. But, like, you know, we always try to make sure that, yeah, we communicate better. Yeah.
Mm.
I'll just say the same. It's communication, asking questions, like a lot. Like he said, 100.
One question,
yes,
100
just to make sure that you understand what the other person is trying to convey. And trust, actually. Mm. And trust, yeah.
Mm. Okay, now, guys, how long?
Go back, because I think your story was very interesting.
Yeah, you know, because you cut us in. You cut in. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, then you got married. Well, I don't know how the engagement came, because we never got to tell us, because that's actually where Robio came in. But so how did you know he was engaging you? Like,
I had no idea.
But
he just chased me out of the flat. Remember, he said, come to my flat this weekend. Let's just spend some time indoors. And it was raining, no how. And then he says on a Saturday morning, go shopping. I said, I don't feel like shopping. It's raining. I want to sleep some more. I mean, I'm a student at that time. So
yeah.
A Saturday is one of those days that I treasured the most, because I could sleep the whole day and do nothing. So now I thought we were going to do the same, and then 10 o'clock a person tells me, go.
Rami,
so, okay, you want to redeem yourself? Like,
yes.
Are you trying to...
That moment, you can imagine, you've been waking almost the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Planning this surprise engagement. Everyone is on standby. So, and my friend, we went on, like, you know, the day before to go and buy some food and everything. I've invited people, some of her friends, like, you know, and making sure that no one, like, you know, tells her. And because I wanted, like, you know, it to be a surprise.
So she can't be there. What
so she can't be there. She can't be
so
there.
So why did you invite me?
And people were, like, you know, were waiting. Because I told them, I said, at a certain time, we need to start preparing.
Yeah.
So, and she was just difficult. She didn't want to move.
Okay, but then you left. And then how did she come back?
That's a good one. I left and I decided I'm going to walk to town.
Joey.
So just to try and analyze of what just happened and what went wrong.
Yeah.
And on my way to town, I see one of his friends coming and yelling, hey, Noctula, please stop. And I'm thinking, they are both crazy. So he sent this one to come and beg me.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what, I'm going to stop. And instead of explaining everything, he just said, okay, where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I think I'm walking to town just to clear my head. And he said, okay, I'll go with you. How, my God? And I'm thinking, he's going to tell me what is happening or what happened. No, he takes the conversation
somewhere
totally
else.
In a different direction. And I thought, I have met two of the most craziest people in town.
And one day they're bringing drama in your life.
Oh my God. And I was really, I had no clue what was happening. But we got to town, we had some drinks, and he decided, you know what, let's go back and just try to find out what he was thinking. So out of curiosity, I said, I'm going to go and really find out what is it that made him to snap like that, and what went wrong. To my surprise,
you walked in and?
And the room was full of people and surprise! Guess what? He said, will you marry me? And instead of saying yes, I clap him first.
No, guys. I think this woman has drama. Drama for days. So you slap him first,
yes.
and then what? And
say,
then
say yes, yes.
You're like, pa.
And then I cried, and then I slapped him, and then I said yes afterwards.
Oh, gosh. What a crazy. You see what happens when you've got a bachelor flat? You have problems like this. You couldn't even lock her in the other room.
No.
Yeah, the struggle was real. Everything is here. Yeah, like you can't even hide anything.
No, you can't hide anything.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful story. And then you said yes, and now you guys have been married how many years now? Almost 17 years.
Yes, 17 years.
And how many kids?
Three boys.
No girls?
No girls.
Three boys.
You know what? I just wanted to make sure he doesn't complain. You know, men, when you have girls, they're like, I wish for a boy. So I said, you know what?
But
three boys.
Is he not complaining that he doesn't have a girl now?
He just said, no, he just said, maybe, don't you think of, we should try for a girl? I said, Ezu.
Yo.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Okay.
No.
So three boys and that's it.
It's more than
enough.
You're
like, you just locked the house.
Yes.
That's it.
The factory's closed. No.
Okay, and guys, tell us, what has been your most amazing moments, your biggest highlights in both your marriage and in your career? I mean, the two of you, I mean, you were working, I know you're a mechanical engineer, right?
Yes.
And you, what were you doing while he was being a mechanical
engineer? Human resource.
Yes. Oh, that's why you're like, you talk too much.
Yes.
So now human resource and mechanical engineering came together, and then now you have this beautiful bookstore that is just growing in leaps and bounds. I mean, at the Ubuntu Book Festival, you were the only store there, and everybody bought. And I remember I saw the updates on Ubuntu Book Festival. On the updates, they actually wrote that about 800 books were sold.
Yes.
Wow. Every day.
Yes.
Every day.
And it was on for...
We sold, I think, close to 1,900 books.
Wow.
For that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. And so you see...
Black people don't read.
And they read.
They read.
And what message do you have for the black people who apparently don't read?
Oh, for me, I'll say... Black people do read.
Yes.
It's just that it's hard for them to find stories that they can associate, as I've said before. And the message that I say I would leave them with is, if you can't find something that you want to read, why don't you write your own?
Yes.
Write your story. Tell your story.
Yes.
Then who knows? Maybe there's hundreds of people who's going to enjoy your book.
In fact, that was going to lead to my next question, because I was going to say, then what do you have to say to the writer?
Yes.
And you just answered it all in one. Yes, Ramza?
Can you please... allow me. I need to go. I need to step into another meeting. Can I just? You will wrap up, please. Allow me to get off the call.
Okay.
But just to say thank you so much to our guests for coming and continue the conversation with Rami. And then, but bottom line is that we appreciate what you are doing, and we support it whenever you have events and all that. Would actually, Ramster, think about it. Would you actually have a nice outside broadcast at the event itself? Among other things that we would like to do with you. But I believe this is not the end of our conversation, and I wish you well, and thank you so much for visiting us today.
Thank you so much, Romy.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
All right,
we'll talk to you some other time. Cool. And now, Fort, we've got 2 minutes left before we get to the end of the show. What is your hope and your dream for an African child who doesn't even know that there are African stories that are being written out there for them, about them, you know, and with them in mind?
The message I always say, and that's what we are trying to do, to encourage our people to read. And the other thing is that, for our people to realize that we are in the years where knowledge and information is more important than any other thing.
Yeah.
And you need, to source that. You need to invest in that because the world is moving fast, and you can't fall back.
Yeah.
Because you're not a reader. So try to make sure that, you read and read the books that are relevant to you. Based on where you are. I always tell people, start where your interest is. Not everyone can start with, Long Walk to Freedom, but starts where your interests are and then build up from that.
Yeah.
But to the black child, I will say, you have so much. This is a beautiful continent. The only way of making it more beautiful is for us to print our own, footprints on it.
Yeah.
For us to write our own stories, as my wife was saying, for us to go back and remember how we were raised, and and to pass that information to our kids, to see how life has changed in these years, and for them to realize in 2050 life will be totally different, and they need to document whatever they are doing right now.
Absolutely. Yo, what a beautiful morning we had, and we just ran out of time, but it has been a pleasure having you, Nogutula and Mr. Fortescue Helepi, here and on Belighted with Rami and Romeo. You're absolutely light. We thank you for each and everything that you do, and keep shining. Keep shining. And that's it from us on Belighted with Rami and Romeo. See you next week, Monday. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Bye. CliffCentral.com.